Hola, ¿cómo están ustedes? Feliz 5 de mayo. Hola a mis amigos en Guatemala. And that's about all I have. It is Cinco de Mayo, so I thought that would be an interesting way. I'm wearing my Guatemala jersey, as you can see today. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 7 this morning. I'm going to read, it's a long chapter, it's 28 verses. We're going to read them all. Talk a bit about them, and then we are going to pray. Keep in mind as we read again, the major theme of the book is Jesus is better, and he is actually in the process of explaining how Jesus is better than the Levitical priests and the high priest, and why his priesthood is better than theirs. So don't get lost in the weeds. This is an interesting, can be kind of weird to hear him talk about the things he's going to talk about. If you're interested in going back and studying, you can flip back to Genesis chapter 14. And this is where Abram, before he's named Abraham, he rescues his nephew Lot from the hands of like five kings. And then he, as he returns from winning this battle, there's this mysterious figure named Melchizedek, who is the king of Salem. He brings out bread and wine. It also has this note: he was priest of God Most High. He blesses Abraham in that moment. He speaks a blessing to him, and then Abram gives him 10% of everything. So he pays a tithe to him. So that's sort of the background. But that's Genesis 14. You can go back and look at that. And so this is what the author of Hebrews takes from those handful of verses in Genesis 14. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is king of peace. That's the king of Salem. Jerusalem is peace. Salem is peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues as a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who receive the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these are also descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. That's Abraham. Abraham had the promises. Melchizedek blessed him. It is beyond dispute that the inferior, Abraham, is blessed by the superior Melchizedek. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar, for it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, which would be the Levitical priesthood, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's in the Psalms. I think that's in Psalm 110. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. For those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. So his great argument here is Jesus is better. He's better. The order of his priesthood, he's not a Levite. So he doesn't have legal claim to the office of priest. And so what this author is saying is it's not about the law for Jesus. There was a promise that came after the law that he was going to have a better priesthood, a more enduring priesthood after the order of the one who was from Genesis 14, who preceded Levi and who is actually better, superior, he says, to Abraham. And so I don't think he's saying that Melchizedek is like still living and like walking around on the earth somewhere. I think he's taking this idea of this man in Genesis 14, who isn't introduced by any lineage like everybody else is, but just kind of appears on the scene and is doing his thing as the priest of God, as the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And he says, like that, this Jesus is this priest according to the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Aaron and the sons of Levi. So he has set aside the law that made nothing perfect, and he has a better covenant to offer, and he mediates a better covenant because he's a better type of priest, a more enduring and living and eternal type of priest. And that's where it gets into this great hope, verse 22, the guarantor of a better covenant. He holds his priesthood permanently, and consequently, 25, therefore, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Spend some time thinking through those verses today, please. Sit with your Bible open, read these over and over again, and let your heart sing that God has provided a better covenant. He's provided a better mediator of a better covenant, and that in every way, Jesus is better. And so can you see the argument that he's unfolding here, where he's saying, don't turn back. I know that you have a physical temple at that point that you could turn back to, and these sacrifices, and that your family is probably calling you back into this because this is the people of God. But he's saying there is something better for the true people of God, the new covenant people of God, something better for you than the law, which made nothing perfect. And so what a hope, what a hope. Verse 19, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. Why don't we pray? Father, thank you for the better hope that is Jesus. Thank you that our better hope has a name, and his name is Jesus, that he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to you because he holds his priesthood forever. Thank you that he is the guarantor of a better covenant, that he is a better hope, that he is a more enduring Savior, that his sacrifice was perfect and can make people perfect where the law could not. Jesus, you are awesome. I pray that we would hold fast. I pray that you would meet your people this morning as they listen to this, and that you would encourage their hearts, that you would help them to praise, their hearts to well up in praise and confidence in you, Jesus, and that they would not swerve to the left or to the right from their confidence and from their hope, but that they would place it firmly in you. And Lord, we pray that you would soon draw us back together to gather as your church to praise your name. But in the meantime, help us to study and marinate in these verses and let them seep into our bones and create this deep confidence that would cause us to suffer well, would cause us to be willing to die for your name, would cause us to be willing to die to self today and to live for Christ today, to live for the glory of God and the good of others today. Jesus, help us. Thank you that you are our merciful and faithful and eternal, ever living to make intercession high priest, that you are our advocate before the Father, and that you are continually applying the benefits of your sacrifice on a day-to-day basis. You are good, and we love you. We thank you and pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hope y'all have a great day.